He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Know where you are. Know where you are. Know where you are at all times. Know where you are. Know where He is. Know. Not know, but know. Not N-O, no, but know. Know. Know Jesus. Know Him. Hallelujah. Peace be with you. That's what Jesus said. That's what He said. He finished. The last words they heard from Him, it was, it is finished. He had a meeting with Mary and He said, you go tell everybody that I'm alive. We know as we listen, as we read, as we pay attention to what the Gospels say, that it would seem that they weren't about to really believe her. As she came to them with eyes glistening and heart rejoicing to say that He was alive and she'd seen Him. A couple of different things enter into that that are very short, don't make any difference whatsoever in today's world, but in their world, girls didn't know much. But they were wrong. God made it very clear. That's why He came to her first. And so while they were still in there worrying and wondering and doubting and fearing and whining, oh yes, they were doubting and fearing and whining in that room. They weren't getting pumped up. They weren't getting fired up. They weren't saying, let's go out and win one for Jesus. They were saying, we just wasted 3.5 years of our life. I mean, if He was crucified, what's in it for us? You see, that was a good deal of that was because they didn't pay attention. They didn't pay attention to what Jesus told them. We know that. We can read it. You know, sometimes people, they think, well, you know, everything good ended with the disciples and the apostles. And you look at that and you say, seriously? Well, they were special. Well, yeah, they traveled with Him for 3.5 years and didn't have a clue. That makes them special. Sometimes, you know, I'm in the downhill before the uphill of 40 years. This time of year, the wheels were falling off of my life, but I didn't know it. I was thinking about it. My grandfather passed away. My wife can attest to you how I handled that. It was impressive, wasn't it? It was inspirational the way I handled that. I don't want to go home. I just want to do what I do. Because I couldn't face it, you know. And then we ended up coming back for a little bit, and more wheels were falling off. And then we went back out to Oregon, and we were riding on the rims. We might have been a little bit like my tractor was last week when the wheel fell off. I might have been on the hubs. She was just going into the bathroom saying, God help us, there's a devil in the house. But there was no chance, no possibility, no way. And then Jesus. And then Jesus. And the Lord and I were visiting about that this week, I sometimes go over the fact with Him that I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that He wants me to do, you know. And He told me, He said, some people need big things and a lot of stuff. And He says, I do big things and a lot of stuff. But He said, you've just trusted me. Of course, I wanted to qualify that when He said that, not perfectly. But the truth is, in His eyes, Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. I said almost 40 years ago, God don't have to do another thing for me. He's done it all already. He forgave me. He changed my life. He continues to change my life. That's all I really need. And he just does more. He does more. Like Vicki said, what God has done is so big. And there isn't anything that he hasn't done. There just isn't. There just isn't. Oh, the devil would like to remind us of God's failures, but they're not God's failures. They just aren't. You know? I don't have anything that I could bring myself and say, oh, why God? I couldn't. He's smarter than I am. You know? He says what he says. He does what he says he'll do. We just got to wait to see it sometimes. Well, Jesus went to the tomb, got up out of the tomb, and there was work to do. I know he said it is finished, but that part was finished. But now to get these guys whipped into shape. There's a gentleman that's on the Bible study call, and he was the I think I told you before, the national championship coach of the football team at Brookings, and they won that game, and he retired because he wanted to. But the thing is, every time before that, no matter how they did. When the last game was over, and even after this game was over, even after they were the national champions, that's done, let's get to work. When things are over, let them be over. Don't let them linger. Don't let them. You see, the disciples, Jesus told them all this was going to happen, and there they were, worrying and afraid and whining. And you know, we don't know all that, but hey, we're smart, aren't we? We're people. What do people do? I mean, you know, sometimes the strongest and just the greatest of Christians will surprise you with, I don't know what to do. Go to Jesus. Mary told him like she was supposed to. Jesus just showed up in the room. He said, peace be to you. Why would he say that? Maybe they needed peace. Peace be to you. They, being human again, looked at him like he was from another planet. Don't you know what we've been through? Isn't that a good one? For some reason, Jesus showed him his wounds, his stripes. And that made him happy. Does that make sense? Sometimes it might seem like people are getting joy out of your misery. I don't know, you know. And truthfully, there are sometimes people are. Don't fool yourself into thinking that there's nobody that doesn't want you to fail. Somebody does. Somebody wants you to fall. Somebody wants you to show the real you. My good friend, we're talking to him, and again the other day I was talking to him, and he said, how are you? I said, just blessed. He said, I keep thinking you must have bad days. I said, I'm not strong enough to take care of bad days. Bad moments I can handle. I ain't about to let it turn into a bad day. You know, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping might last for a moment, but get back where you belong. Get back where God prepared for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Get back there. But anyway, Jesus showed them, and that pepped them up. All right. Some things you got to just wonder about. In response to that, then he says, okay, now here it is. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. At least one of them probably thought, We're going to look like him. Father sent me, I'm sending you. Just go all the way. Just go all the way. See, that's what we have to plan to do, is go all the way. All the way. Not part of the way. All the way with Jesus. Set your mind to go all the way with Jesus. In whatever way that it takes, go all the way. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. You don't need to spend a lot of time worrying about when you didn't. Make a decision now, all the time. Never again. I'm following Jesus. Because when everything else is done, he's what's going to be left. So why not be with him now? Why not? Why not now? And then, to answer any questions that they might have, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he left. Peace. Go. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. You'll get your peace. And you can go. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, how can it be that simple? But that's how simple it was. That's what he said. That's all he came. That's all he said. He could have spent a few days with them, just kind of going through stuff with them. But he'd already been through stuff with them. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll lead you into all truth. Take a deep breath. Receive the peace. That could sometimes mean quit whining and complaining. And fearing and doubting. How am I going to go? I'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. You see, if we will breathe in, he's been breathing out. I got this on the Bible app. If you ever go along with them and on their prepared prayers, I like to use their music. But they always say, before you pray, take a deep breath. Take a few deep breaths and concentrate on what the statement is. Take a few breaths. Take a few breaths. Jesus breathed on them. He breathed out. They breathed in. They had no idea what they were doing. In fact, they might not have bothered to breathe in. They got caught up in, what's that all about? Probably started chattering with each other. What's he doing? Receive the Holy Spirit. See, we know what that is. We don't know all the time how to start it. It's like sometimes we act like I did the first time that I got into a car that didn't have a key and didn't know where the button was. Now, I should know how to use a button because that's what I learned to drive on, my grandpa's old Chevy. Turn the key, and push the button, but they've never, that I know of, put the button over here where it ought to be. It's over here, it's under here. It's like they're hiding it. Maybe they are. But I didn't even know there was a button. But I wasn't too proud to go ask. Color me stupid, but where is the button? How do I start that? Well, here's the deal. When I went out knowing how to do it, I looked at the dash, and the dash gave me specific instructions. Put your foot on the brake and push the button. I would have known there's a button. Then I could have let my pride get in the way and just looked and looked and looked till I found that button. You know? We should behold the Lord. We should look to Him first. We shouldn't entertain our fear, our doubt, our confusions. You know, when my tractor wheel fell off, I looked and I said, oh, that's it. I thought, okay, I'll call somebody. I was so thankful when it fell off, I was next to the curb, out of the way. Somebody asked me, so did the wheel roll down the road? I forgot to be thankful that it didn't roll down the road. It never occurred to me. It just laid where it was supposed to lay. So it was really a great opportunity to say, Lord, you never cease to amaze me. I didn't say, oh God, why did you let the wheel fall off? If I was going to say, oh God, why to somebody, I was going to say to me, how in the world did that wheel fall off? I mean, all at once, it never wobbled. It was like all the bolts just poof, dropped out and the wheel fell off. Folks, if your wheels fall off, do something about it. If your wheels fall off, call somebody. Call Jesus. Call somebody and remind you to call Jesus. If your wheels are off, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, have a little talk with Jesus. Take a little walk with Jesus. He said, I'll be with you always. That's probably what they were remembering after he came in and breathed on them. Said, peace to you. Where are we going to get peace at a time like this? Said, as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you. Breathe, receive the Holy Spirit. That's it for today's lesson. Well, you are all advanced in your understanding of the Lord, so I could have done that. And if you're thinking, why didn't you just do that? Because there's more. I got things I got to learn here. The only way I learn them is to help you with them. Because God teaches me and makes me accountable while I'm hearing from Him. But it's really that simple. If it wasn't that simple, He wouldn't have told them that. Peace to you. In fact, that peace was so important that He told them twice, peace to you. Now receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Think on these things. You got to wonder what the conversation was after He left. Did somebody assign, you know, okay, let's split up. You three, take what He did there. You three, take what He did there. You three, take what He did there. The two of us that are left, we'll take this. We're going to think about these things. Or did they just think, what in the world just happened? Where'd He go? Is that all? Sometimes, folks, in our walk with God, we might have a is that all moment. But by faith, we can say, well, that's everything I need. That's everything I need. I can remember being at Brookings when they were had a guy there that kind of dealt with personal prophecy and stuff, and then he invited pastors up to share personal prophecy with people, and he called me, and I said, "What?" Take my wife. No. But you know, the interesting thing was is that it changed at that spot. And there were just things that God had to say to people, and all I had to do was say them. Comfortable or uncomfortable, just go ahead and say them. That's it. Some came, and they'd already been to three people. They came to my spot, which was the fourth one probably, or third or fourth, whatever. Anyway, they'd already been through each one, and what they were doing was looking for something that they liked. And so I can remember specifically one person coming up, and I'm saying, I don't know if this makes any sense or not, but God's already told you what you're supposed to do. They went right to the next line. But another guy, when I said almost the same thing to him, that the Lord says, you know what you need to do, he about fell down and wept. And his wife right there with him. They were so happy with that word. And I still communicate with them. And I don't have any idea what that word was. You know? You see, that's the thing about our unique personal relationship with God. He's got something special. He speaks to everyone in language that they'll understand. But I have discovered that sometimes when he speaks to some people in the language that they should understand, they think he's speaking a foreign language. I don't get it. Sure you do. Or you wouldn't say, I don't get it. But I don't understand. Sure you do. Sure you do. Just walk it out. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. You know, we know Jesus had lots more information for them because he needed to help them to put all those pieces together. But he didn't like do volumes with them after that. At least we don't read about them. Now, it could possibly be that they didn't write about everything else they went through because they didn't want to look stupid, you know? maybe they didn't want to say everything that Jesus had to say to get them on board. I don't know. But what I do know is that we know because we have even more information than they had. We have more understanding than they had. They got a better covenant. We got a better covenant. We have a better covenant. We have all of this that God has given us, and all we have to do is appropriate it. All we have to do is put it together. You can buy house kits, and all of the stuff will be dumped in your yard, and all you got to do is put it together. Just put it together. The Lord has dumped life, dumped it into us, and all we have to do is put it together. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Just choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. I'll be a father to you. That song says, I've known you as a father and I've known you as a friend. When my dad died, he became my father. Before my dad died, he became my father. But when my mother and my father desert me, the Lord will pick me up. In other words, the Lord will never leave me. The Lord will never desert me. I can go to him. He's more than enough. I just need to go to him. Just go to him. Let the old things pass away and the new things come. And just go to him. Like a warm blanket on a cold day. He's your comforter. He's your hope. He's your help. And it's just as simply as receiving his peace. Peace be unto you. God's always right there, breathing on you. Just breathing. Just breathing peace. 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 I'm sending you just the way the Father sent me. And once this week also, as I thought about that, I was overwhelmed with the number of people who don't know Jesus, that I'm pretty sure don't know Jesus, that I walk by and drive by and put off. And, you know, not, it's not a burden. It's an easy yoke to carry. But the thing is to have the concern and have the desire that other people know him, because a lot of people don't know him, and a lot of people who know about him don't know him, and they need to experience him. I'm telling you, the presence of God, be the presence of God for people. Usher the presence of God to people. Ask the Lord to be so present with you that your presence puts the presence of the Lord there for them. Pray for me so that I will do the one thing I need to do: more Facebook Lives. Just do them. Just pick up my guitar and do a little bit. Because there are so many people that do not know the presence of the Lord that tune into that, and they experience the presence of the Lord, even if they don't know what they experience. What in the world? How difficult is that? It doesn't have to be perfect. I don't have to have on the perfect clothes. I don't have to be clean shaven. I don't have to smell right. I don't have to do anything. Just need to be a representative of the breath of God. And that's all any of us have to do, but that's something that I can do. I see it more and more and more and more at the jail. They come for the presence of God, and they know that they come for the presence of God, and they just enter into it. They get there before we get started sometimes because God's there. And they live in a black spot. They live in a warfare spot, but when they walk in there, there ain't no war. And when you come into a place, the war is over. Because the demons flee when the presence of God is there. So walk in like more than a conqueror. A thankful conqueror. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Seek Holy Spirit. Exercise your gifts in the Spirit. He sent you. He sent me. That's the most important thing we have to do in this life. Everything else will be added to us, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added. You'll just find it coming up. You know? When I needed lug nuts that worked for my tractor, there in the treasure chest at LeVon and Bob's were ones that worked. I need to go back to that drawer because I hope to put two more in there. No. But, you know, if that isn't the goodness of God, what is? There isn't such a thing as happenstance. God's good. God's good. Have a beautiful day receiving the Holy Spirit, breathing wherever you go, and let the whole world know Jesus is alive and well. Tell everyone you see, Jesus said, tell them for me, Jesus is alive and well. Amen? Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that every day you're alive. Thank you for every person in this world that today is knowing you in a way that they never knew you before. Billions of souls, Lord. Bring them into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. And I need to just give you a tiny report about Rogers in Africa, who I wasn't positive was still alive, because I haven't heard from him since September. And on my WhatsApp, it says, hello, Daddy, I've missed you. Oh, hallelujah. So what's going on, son? He said, well, you wonder why I go to the villages? I go to the villages because nobody else will go to the villages. And the village that I went to, we had great meetings. And he sent pictures of the great meetings. But they beat him up because their shrine tree died. Their God tree died because he was there. So they beat him up and they threw him into their snake temple, their weird part of the forest. And their big python snake shriveled up and died. But they left him there for dead. And some of the villagers who got saved and believed in Jesus carried him. And he wasn't breathing when they carried him. The boys raised up again. But he came back. And he showed pictures of how he looked after all of that. And he said, I was just so sick, Daddy, I couldn't contact you. But I'm back! And so, he's alive again too. I thought appropriate that on Easter weekend, I would hear. He's going and he's doing, and I want you to receive from God. Thank you for being a part of it. Don't think, well, you know, I'm not doing much. You're doing a lot. You're doing a lot. You have a part of that. Personally, I like the part that I have in that. I don't really want to join him in it, you know? I would, but I'm not saying, oh, Lord, let me go over there and help him. I'm just not saying that. I got to take care of Vicky. No. But realize that's you. That's you. He considers us his source. God is his real source. But he gives lots of prayer time and lots of credit to us for being behind him. And so I'm praying that I will pray more for him, but I will probably just pray the way that I always do for him. And sometimes for months, I just read his last notes. Look at his last pictures. But I wanted to share that with you. And so, Lord, we lift him up. We lift Rogers Nayabuto up to you, Lord. And we also lift our brother in the Philippines up to you, Brother Burves. And Lord, we thank you for what they are able and are doing. And by the grace of God, they will continue. And we just pray for Roderick in Malawi, Lord, that he is doing well. And everybody else that we get a chance for the folks in Guatemala, I think that's right. Yeah. Lord, we just love you and we praise you. And what a privilege it is to be a part of what you're doing around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.